This is Alex Hightower
and Lainey Mays,
and this is Do You Even Podcast, a podcast about everything you didn't know you wanted to know about podcasts.
Hi, we're back from the holidays.
Happy New Year, guys.
We know we went a little quiet on you, but you're with your families anyway. We were respecting you.
You needed some quality time with them, and we needed quality time with ourselves.
I know. I really didn't. I mean, I did on the way back and there, but when I was home, I did not listen to podcasts. It was so nice.
Yeah, it was shocking. I think my brother maybe asked me about like what I've been listening to since I've been home. I was like, oh, actually, you know. But I think, you know, there were a lot of really great things that came out of 2019. I know we did a blog post that, you know, called out some different things you could listen to. So I'm really happy about all the things that came out this past year. A lot of good stuff.
It's 2020, you guys.
Oh, it's weird. Blech. Weird. Oh, God.
We're here. Yeah. This is us. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Not a meme?
That's a heavy question, Lainey.
Okay, moving on. We're really excited to be back, and we're excited to hear from all of you. So what were you listening to over the break? What were you listening to during the holidays? While we're just getting back in, we thought we would bring some things we've been listening to since we last talked to you guys. And we have really fun things. So, Alex, do you have one?
We want to go back and forth. I have a few different things. Like I said, I didn't listen to a ton of new stuff over the break. So I think maybe I'll start with the couple of new podcasts I have recently listened to. And then I have some shout outs from some old faves, of course. One new one, I actually got this recommendation from a literary agent who I met with. And she loves podcasts too. So we, of course, gush for like 30 minutes. And she also likes fiction podcasts, which I love. Yes. And I'm always looking for weird, quirky, good ones.
Speaking of fiction, Lindsay, go listen to that interview that we did. It was amazing.
Fabulous. And we small plug. And it was an awesome interview. So like I'm partial to those kind of shows, you know, they're really creative and build in storytelling. And so she was like, you have to listen to The Orbiting Human Circus. And I was like, what's that?
What is this now?
I was like, this sounds a little weird, but I'm digging it. And so then she said, oh, it's from Night Vale Presents. So they also do Welcome to Night Vale. And I was like, okay, well, I know they put out really great content. I'm going to listen. It's also produced with WNYC Studios. And I really like it. Cool. It's very surreal. It's really quirky. I think that's the way to describe it. But it actually has some actors who I recognize. Charlie Day is in some episodes.
What?
I know. Very unexpectedly. Right. Tim Robbins, also a big actor who's in some episodes. John Cameron Mitchell, who at first I was like, who is that? And then if you guys watch Shrill, he's the horrible boss. And so there's a lot of familiar voices.
Cool.
Like I said, it's really weird, but the episodes are only about 30 minutes long, so it's easy to binge. I think they have two seasons out, but then they had kind of a holiday special that was really nice too. So I totally recommend a quick pitch. I don't want to ruin it. I think it's better if you mostly go in knowing nothing. But it's about a janitor who stumbles across a radio show that's broadcast from the top of the Eiffel Tower. So that's my quick pitch. Go and listen, guys. If you like fiction, if you like storytelling, I highly recommend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
I know.
Okay, so I have like things all over the place. I'm trying to think.
Do it.
I'm going to start with one that made me laugh out loud on the train.
Oh, that
like
sounds good.
I could not stop laughing. So I like, but I don't listen to all the episodes of How Did This Get Made?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Paul Scheer and June Diane Raphael, and which is Paul Scheer's wife, and of course Jason Mendoza, who I love so much. They're actually, both of the men are on The Good Place, which I forgot until I watched the other day.
Yeah.
What's cool about that show is that they're talking just about terrible movies, and their live shows are really funny because sometimes they'll like watch the trailer or the movie and comment in live time, in real time. But then on the show, they will just like talk about the show that you could have watched before and then come in. But honestly, I really like them when I've already seen the show like separately and come in. And but they are all actors, so you'll probably know Paul's wife June Diane from she's Jennifer on Parks and Rec, and it makes me laugh every time I see her.
Amazing.
But they're all actors, so but they're not like I don't want this to be disrespectful to them, but they're not like big, huge actors.
Right.
Like they're mainly character actors. And so they have this like experience in the movie world, and so they can tell all these crazy stories, which I'll get into as an example on the one I liked. But I think it's kind of cool. You get this like small glimpse into Hollywood too, so it's just fun. But they reviewed Holiday in Handcuffs. Have you ever seen that?
Why does that sound familiar?
It's Melissa Joan Hart movie.
I feel like someone on Twitter Mario was Lopez. Like talking about this.
So it came out in like 2007, yeah. And yeah. I actually like it.
Oh no.
I've seen it multiple times. My mom and I always watch it at Christmas because it's like it's an ABC original, but it's like a step above, you know, like a Hallmark movie. It's got a little bit more of a story
in it. Wait, can I
just
say really quickly that speaking of these types of movies, although this sounds slightly better than them, I spent a lot of my holiday break with my dad and my brother, my 24-year-old brother, just watching the worst Hallmark and Lifetime and Netflix original movies. We all watched The Princess Switch together with Vanessa Hudgens. It was lovely. Anyway.
Yeah, you should have tried The Night Before Christmas. It was pretty terrible.
Mitchell wanted to. I did not.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I couldn't do it.
It's really bad.
I couldn't do it.
I watched, not to make this a podcast about like just down on all these movies, but I watched from the recommendation of a friend, sorry friend, Christmas at Pemberley Manor, and
oh,
it was
Lord.
So terrible. I hate watch them.
Yes,
you know,
100%.
Like I have to know what happens, but this is so terrible.
We finished every
single
one.
How did this get made?
Exactly. Go ahead. Okay,
but anyway, so Holly in Handcuffs, the premise of this story is that her boyfriend broke up with her like the day she's supposed to take him to meet her family for this Christmas lodge thing they go to.
Rude.
Yeah, and so she sees Mario Lopez who's about to, he's getting engaged that day. Mm-hmm. And she sees him and she's just like, I'm going to take him. I need someone. I can't be the loser again at this thing. I have to have a boyfriend here. So she like kidnaps him with these fuzzy handcuffs.
What?
And takes him to her family's lodge. And so, you know, eventually he realizes that she's just like heartbroken and they fall in love. And it's really funny though.
I'm going to try this.
But it's so terrible. But they were telling all this stuff within this movie of like they all like the cast all was sick apparently and like the lighting is terrible and it but then they all had like Mario Lopez stories which are really funny. They're like yeah this one time we were doing this show and he came and they're like no one can get a hold of Mario like it was so funny.
Get some fuzzy handcuffs.
Right. So, all of that to say, I won't tell you everything, but Jason Mendoza is one of the funniest people I've ever heard.
Oh,
like,
my God.
But it's not like he's like a comedian that has this joke ready. It's just like totally off the cuff. Like, he'll just think of stuff and you're like, that's hilarious. Like one of the, they had a guest and she was like saying, she's like, okay, well, we have to think of this in the world of The Handmaid's Tale. And he was like, why? Why do we have to do that? I don't understand. And then she said something like a Hallmark movie. He goes, oh, so now we have to bilingually think in two worlds. We have to think in The Handmaid's Tale and a Hallmark movie.
Oh, my God.
And, like, he's just so funny. So I enjoyed it, and you'll love it.
That sounds hilarious. Yes. I get why you were laughing out loud.
I was on the subway. I look like a crazy person.
That's always the best. When they can't tell. The other new one that I listened to. So, listeners, you might remember when Lucy called out or did a BYOP on The Dream about MLMs. And so season 2 is out. And I really like it.
Really?
And it's a little bit different. But, I mean, it's connected to the world of MLMs. And it's basically looking at, like, the wellness kind of capitalist machine. And so I know I did my BYOP on America Dissected, and there was an episode that was about, like, crystal. I can't remember what we titled our episode, but it was about, like, crystals and about all these kind of, like, faux
should I throw
cures.
My crystals away?
Yes. Yeah. So it's very much looking at that and looking at, you know, all these different things that are emerging in terms of wellness and self-care, but really taking a closer look at them, but not just in sort of a scientific way and like, is this medically accurate, but also looking at why people gravitate towards them. So it's really interesting. It's led by the same host. So that's Jane Marie and Dan Gallucci. So Jane Marie worked on This American Life for a while. Okay. So she like definitely knows what she's doing. And Dan, I believe, is an audio engineer and has worked on a ton of projects and music and stuff. But Jane Marie, in season one of The Dream, really talked to her aunt and like her relationship, like very personal relationship with MLMs and how she kind of got looped into them. And so when she opens the second season, she also makes it kind of personal and is talking to her aunt about why her aunt is interested in like the power of oils. So like those essential oils like lavender and like tea tree oil and like how they can heal you and all these ways that Jane deems insane.
Okay.
Insane. I don't want to pass judgment, but she uses that kind of wording in the episode. But it's interesting because she's talking to her about the ways in which like the medical community, a lot of times we've talked about on this show how the medical community and like the history and like the idea of precedent can be really narrow-minded. And so if a lot of women in particular aren't feeling like heard by their doctors or like their symptoms being taken as seriously by their doctors, they're always looking for a way to like fix the problem essentially, and how capitalism can take advantage of that. Okay. It's fascinating, but also it's just really personal. Like, she talks to her aunt about this, but the host Jane Marie talks a lot about why she's so staunchly against it. One, she doesn't like believe in crystals in, per se, but additionally she has like her own experiences that she brings into it, where she had a really difficult traumatic brain injury when she was young, and so it affected her life in a lot of ways. Like, obviously it made her like anxious and she dealt with depression, but also just the idea of like one solution that'll fix like your problems, right, and like relying on that rather than focusing on other things that she deems more efficient and really like move your life forward. She's more focused on living her life in that way rather than like searching for these little cures. And like, I think she said like pulling out my powders instead of doing that, like I'm going to go out there and like seize life by the horn. So I think it's cool because it's looking at like that human side of like what's going on and then also how that can be taken advantage of in a lot of ways. It's really interesting though, because the other host, Dan Gallucci, he does believe in some of these things. So there was one episode that was giving me hives because I just like am such a nine. I don't like conflict. Right. And I was listening to them and I was like, oh my God, this is really upsetting. Like, why are you recording this and posting it? But Dan, Jane was asking him, well, like, do you really like believe in them? And he's like, what? Well, I mean, she's like, they're rocks. And I was like, don't they're be so rock- mean to him. He thinks it's real rocks. So it was kind of cool to see like these two people.
Everybody believes in something.
Exactly. But it was interesting to hear both of them, because initially it was her kind of questioning him, like, why do you believe in this? And how can you believe in this? And he's like, no, this is what it means to me. But then when he was talking to her about like her experiences as a child and like medically what she went through, he was asking directly, like, do you think some of that's responsible for why you were so, like, completely against this, like, refuse to, like, believe any of it, you know? Mm. And thinking about how their experiences do inform the way they view this whole system. But I think they're going to go into different types of, like, wellness things and how they do intersect with MLMs. Because some of these, like, oil companies, it is a similar thing where, like, you can buy into it and, right, like, you can sell it and you become a diamond member. Like, it has that similar structure. But it was so interesting, yeah, and I really like it. There's only like 3 or 4 episodes out right now, but
that's really interesting. But not what? Trying to bring it up again, but
what?
Outlander, because I'm obsessed with it right now.
How? I want to know how this connects. I'm,
you know, like
excited.
A big theme in there is like spirituality within different centuries and different, yeah, cultures, and how that's not necessarily like pagan or Christian, mm-hmm, and it goes like beyond that to be like medical.
Yeah.
And so in a lot of these episodes, which I have time to get into all of this, but just know that it's about spirituality.
Yes.
And so like people who are labeled as like witch or whatever, right, but they're using like modern medicine, yeah, in a way that back then was not understood.
Right.
And so I don't know. It fascinates, yeah, me that people like pass this off for this, but for centuries people are like healing.
Exactly.
So like,
yeah,
you know, they could say like, oh, this rock is healing. It's like, well, actually, if you like put it in your tea, it does have like,
yeah,
medical possibilities.
Effects.
So it like fascinates,
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I won't I guess, give away the whole show. And obviously only a part of it is out now. But there are like sections where they were reading different things from certain companies' websites about like the power and potential of like some of these like essential oils. And so some of it I was like, yeah, no, I completely like personally, like I agree with that. I think on the one hand, you do have the idea of like a placebo effect. And like, honestly, if something is not harming you, but also making you like feel better, have a different outlook, like there's a line there, so where like I get it.
Psychological exactly. thing too.
Exactly. Yeah. But then there were also parts where they were talking about anecdotal studies versus like statistical studies. And so like, people, I guess some of the companies were pointing to like very specific situations where like, oh, it did help this person in this way. But that doesn't statistically mean that like this can cure X, Y, and Z. So I don't know. It's just also crazy to think about the ways you can take this information and manipulate it so that someone will buy something and that you can continue to make money.
Interesting.
It's fascinating. It's so good.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks, Lucy.
Yeah. I have a friend who really loves to dream, too.
Mm, it's good. It's really good. It has really high ratings, and I get why.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anyway. So, next, another kind of heavy Chevy one.
sorry, guys.
Death, Sex, and Money.
Oh.
I listened to their episode called Inside Planned Parenthood, which came out the 8th of January. And I don't know when it originally was posted, but 1/8 was a repost. And it was hard to listen to, beautiful, but I think needed, you know, like, so it was all resolved around Anna Sale, the host, going to Planned Parenthood and talking to different women or men there to kind of show that people who are walking in and getting kind of assaulted, and even in New York City, these people like were out protesting, walking in, they're not coming to get an abortion, like they're there for healthcare, and they had a lot of like really trying stories about, you know, going in and being told things like a protester said something like, don't go kill your baby. And they have a person who volunteers there. And she was like, just come on in. Like, they have to have greeters.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they're not even here for that. And, you know, like STD testing. And it's just a safe space. And so she interviewed a lot of people. Some people didn't give their names. And a few people did say, like, I don't know if anyone in the episode was there for an abortion, but they had, a lot of them had them.
Yeah.
And some said they went to Planned Parenthood, some said they didn't and went later, and like the differences between that. And she was like, honestly, it's such a different experience because here they're like, what are your options? What do you want to do? She's like, I didn't use that word at the other place. The other place, they were like, I said, I am not planning to continue. And they were like, okay, you come at this time. You don't want to continue. And it's like, here it's more healthy where it's like, these are your options. You are terminating this. You know, like, they're not there to be like, ah, just get rid of it. You know, like, there is a conversation and there is like a, there are words to use. And then one person was saying that she met someone else that was having one and they kind of bonded and were able to talk to each other. One woman said that she had had 4 and now she's trying for real. And so, like, the process of all of that, one person was in tears because she was like, I've never told anyone, even though I volunteer here. And so there was a lot of talk about just different, I guess, stereotypes or different like taboos that you don't talk about when 1 in 3 women have them. And so she said when people did know, they treat her differently or like things. And like some of them, it was a, they had to do it, you know, like it's just so interesting. So interesting. Huh. And I think Anna did it in a really cool way that was not like looking down upon them at all and like really giving them a space to talk about this issue. And I think anyone would do well to go listen to this.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It was really interesting.
Sounds so good.
Yeah.
And hard.
It was hard.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was kind of heavy.
I have, like I said, I have some other ones that I've been listening to, like not new podcasts, but different episodes I really liked.
Okay.
Ear Hustle put out something really short. I think it was right after Thanksgiving, maybe like around November 27th. And so It was only 5 minutes long. It was just Nigel and Erlon talking about their dream podcast ideas, which I thought was so sweet. So I think everyone should listen to that. I won't tell it because it's only 5 minutes. So you should go listen from them. But Erlon's was so like heartfelt and kind of sad, but really sweet and lovely. And I think it was just a nice way because I'm always eagerly waiting for more content. It was a nice little like holiday surprise for me. Aww. Yeah, it was cute. It was cute. Cute.
I have two mini ones.
You have two mini. Okay, I have two more, but they're really short. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I wanted to talk about the Murder Squad because they're doing winter distractions. So they're getting ready for the next season, and they're just doing like little like updates or like talking, not a murder itself. Mm-hmm. And they had guest Adam Conover on. Oh, so Adam Conover. Nice. Adam ruins everything, but he has a podcast called Factually with Adam Conover, which I've talked about before, and I. Love him because I feel like I'm that friend in a lot of situations where it's like, actually, that's not really how it works. But it was interesting because they invited him to, quote, ruin true crime.
Oh, my God.
So they really just talked, and he actually was, like, really revering them. He was like, I'm so interested in this. I read nonfiction for fun. I'm, like, this investigative comedian, which is weird.
That is weird, but true.
He was like, but I just love nonfiction, and I love saying, like, everything is not what you think it is. Yeah. And he like said where he began, which was really interesting. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, and he would ask questions. I really appreciated that he didn't say like, well, actually, that's not even true. He would say, I've heard this. You would know better than I. Mm-hmm. And he would ask them. He was like, isn't that true? Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was important because a lot of the times, especially with mansplaining, you get a lot of people who think they know something and they don't. But he was really asking them
questions. That's such a great approach.
And he was like, and I've read this article. What do you think about it? And they were like, oh, yeah, that's really true. It was so cool. I don't know. It was just a fun conversation. A fun meeting of worlds.
Ooh, that sounds good. I want to listen to that because I do appreciate like the way he approaches every topic. Like on the TV show is what I'm more familiar with. But I have listened to a little bit of his pod and I
quote him all. I'm like, did you know that these vitamins are not even approved by the FDA? So why would you put them in your body? And everyone's like, okay, Lane, you can go home now.
Like that's enough.
But anyway, so go check that out.
I listened to a Code Switch episode that I really liked. Okay. It came out on Christmas Day. And it was The Birth of a New Negro, which is the title of a book about Alain Locke. And a lot of people know him as the dean or the father of the Harlem Renaissance. I actually didn't know about him until The Birth of a New Negro.
That was Langston Hughes.
That's what everyone thinks. That's the thing. And Alain Locke is really the guy who is kind of responsible for some of the lines of ideology.
I want my 11th grade history state exam money back.
I know. Even in the episode, they specifically were like, most people know of Langston Hughes over Alain Locke. And I was like, oh. We need, like, more stuff about him. And so this book did come out, I think, in 2017. I'm pretty sure it was a Penguin Random House book. I feel like I was seeing it around. But this episode was nice because it focused on him and his life. And, like, he was a Black gay man during the 1920s. And so it's a lot about, like, identity, but also travel. So he moved and lived in Berlin, I believe. I know he lived in Germany for a while. And so they were really talking about how after slavery was abolished, Black people still didn't have a ton of freedoms, really.
No.
But one big thing was travel, and the fact that you could move was a big deal. I mean, obviously, you had the Great Migration, and so you have the ability for Black people to go to other places and what that can afford them. But also, there was a lot of talk in this episode about, one, him being able to, like, just move to another country, and also different perceptions in different countries and building your own space even when you're not wanted. But it was a really interesting episode. I think it's nice, you know, like if you aren't familiar with who he is and what he did, and also just him as a person and what was important to him. But it was another nice like kind of holiday surprise, and it was like a Christmas present. So shout out.
That's really fun.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I love learning about people I didn't know.
Me too. Untold histories. I'm like all about it. Yeah.
So the last one I wanted to talk about is there's this podcast called, which I'm not familiar with. I only know about it from Instagram because I know the person who's on it. But it's called Q from CBC, which is a Canadian whatever. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
It had a person on and it was promoting Schitt's Creek.
Oh, what?
Annie Murphy.
Oh!
I was so excited.
That was too loud.
I saw on a Instagram post, I was like, go check out Annie Murphy. Oh. And so honestly, I don't know if I've ever really heard her speak outside of right? the show.
Yeah.
And so this is going to sound rude, but she sounds so smart.
I know.
And so different from Alexis. Yeah. I love Schitt's Creek and it's coming back. So she was promoting yes. it. And she just had really great stories about like where yeah. she began and how Dan and Jean worked together. Like there's a cute story about how Jean like sets behind the like monitor and when Dan and Sarah, who plays Twyla, mm-hmm. his actual children, when they're on set, like he mouths their words like as oh, they're doing it. It's really sweet.
That's really cute.
And like how proud he is. So go check it out if you love Schitt's Creek. You'll yes. love Annie Murphy. Check out Schitt's Creek because it's yes. amazing and it came back and I haven't watched it yet, but
so
I'm excited.
So good.
Yeah, it really made me happy to hear more about her.
And hear her really speak. That is, yeah. I only know her as, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Alexis.
And she wrote a little bit Alexis.
Oh my God, I love that.
She said that, I knew she wrote the words, but I didn't know how much she wrote of it. She wow. said that Dan like was like, oh, we're going to have this song and it's going to be called A Little Bit Alexis. Mm-hmm. And she had like a musician friend. And she said, too, we went into the studio. I like wrote down the words and we laid the track down. It was
oh my
so
gosh.
Funny.
So goals.
Yes. But that was for my listening nice. Tapes.
I have one last one. Okay. It's really quick. I just watch a lot of like movies and some television over the break. And so the one podcast episode that kind of focused on media that I really liked was from Still Processing. I think this also was in November technically. But they looked at Parasite, which was a film that I really loved this past year, and also Watchmen, the TV series. And so I think it's just like a really great episode if you're interested in like both of those pieces of media and looking at like some of the parallels, what they say about our larger times. I personally was like very struck by the reimagining of Watchmen because it's so different than the other like two versions of it, the graphic novel. And then also the movie. I personally like the TV show better than the movie. But I think it's just kind of nice to break it down and see some of the themes that they played with. They played a lot with history in a cool way. So,
and Watchmen is like they're not superheroes?
Yeah. So it's about superheroes and like vigilantes, but it's kind of like a dystopian look at like heroes after they've fallen in a way. I haven't finished the graphic novel yet. So in terms of comparing that to the TV show, I'm not sure, you know, some of the major superheroes in there and how their arcs differ. I think that the TV show, though, if I remember correctly, looks like further in the future. And so it's kind of looking at like some of those big like superheroes mm-hmm. after their time has sort of passed. And so okay. they're still around, but it's like a lot of time jumps looking at like what was the legacy they left and how are they remembered, and then obviously them saving us all now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really complex. It's good though. It's good.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's it for me.
So I thought about something.
What?
I don't know if you're down for this.
Let's do it. I think.
Should we tell them the story?
Yes.
Because I'm like, what if we post it on our Instagram and show them?
We should.
But then it gives us time to explain because it's not.
Yes. It needs an explanation.
So sit down, kids. Here's this fun, well, maybe fun story.
Fun for us.
So as you may know, Barbie, which is my pod pitch. She should have a podcast, but whatever.
Yes.
She has an Instagram account called like Barbie
Style.
Style. Yeah. It's like their corporate one, but it's like high fashion.
But it's good.
Like. She has a better life than I do.
Her clothes. Wow.
And she like travels, teams up in ads. Yeah. Does yes, ads with yeah. people. And so she's always just like killing it on Instagram. And we noticed.
Yes.
Alex.
We noticed that quite often. Who sent it first? Did I send it? Did my mom send it? Okay. We've noticed quite often that there's like different pairings. It'll be Barbie with like different friends. And a lot of times it's Barbie with like Black Barbie. And it's kind of the best thing ever. But I do appreciate that there's a lot more diversity with Barbie right. now. So they'll have like Barbie and Black Barbie, but like different types of hairstyles yeah. or like skin tones or like facial features. But every time that there's...
Probably what happened is I sent it and you were like, oh my gosh, it's us. Like we were probably doing, yeah. like they had a dog or something.
Yeah.
It's us.
Yeah. So now it's kind of become like an ongoing yeah. inside joke, I'd say.
Mainly just to point out that they like looks like a college yes, ad on their Barbie
it does,
Instagram.
It does.
It started off as a joke.
And now we love it.
And now we're just like, oh my gosh, it really is us.
So every,
and we can live vicariously through
every
Barbie.
Time we see it, there's an Instagram message like back and forth between yes. the two of us. And so I don't know how long ago it was, but we like made this joke like, what if for Christmas
we got Barbies that look like each other?
And we gave them to each
other. And then we'll like be lovely. Represented in our house, yes. which we're insane and we know.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was like a game.
It was. I mean, it really was a game yeah. that I probably took a little too intensely because I was searching everywhere for the perfect Barbie. One that like looked like Lainey, but also I wanted to like...
Alex understood the
assignment. Like represent her in some way or like something cute, like at least have cute clothes, like something. So like all the Barbies I saw, I was like, oh, because now they have different lines. So I was like, well, this Barbie like doesn't quite look right or her hair looks weird. Like it needs to be the right one.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of representation for blonde Barbie.
Fair. So we both, you know, did our duties.
So and we will reveal what our Barbies yeah. are, and now we have Barbies that look like us.
May I just say it was like the best Christmas gift ever.
Yeah. It was fun. I think it was like an extra, you know, anybody can go find a gift, but like this was
yeah.
fun.
It was fun and like thoughtful and specific yeah. and yeah, it was an adventure.
And I love Barbie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you don't like Barbie, but get out of my house. Like I get why you don't,
yes.
but yeah. I think it gave me a lot of confidence to like conduct my own narrative a lot
yeah.
when I was younger and like
storytelling like
yeah
100%.
And play is really important as a mm-hmm. kid, but also I mean yeah she does have like cute clothes, but she's made leaps and strides for mm-hmm. like what she can do and all of the people she can do, but like you could do anything and it was mm-hmm. open to you, and I was told that with her, and so I love Barbie mm-hmm. It's started my obsession with tiny things. That's probably why
yeah.
I just love little tiny things.
I think that Barbie also is super accessible in a way, and I think it's great. It's become like broadened and like more diverse, but I think that like a doll, like everyone wants a doll that like they can like live out their dreams in, and also Barbies are at a price point that's a lot more accessible than like an American Girl doll or like some other like things on the market. So I think that it is something that you can hand to a lot of kids, and like it was an integral part of like
it also
childhood.
Allows you to like speak your feelings through mm-hmm. like a proxy, I guess.
Yeah.
Like you can say what you want to do and what you really want to say
yeah.
through them. So
I'm
I
a
think,
big fan of dolls.
I don't know. I'm yeah. I get why you don't like it, but don't at me.
Also, I want to give a big shout out to both our moms who were looking on our behalves for our Barbies for each other. Like we appreciate y'all.
I saw this like really intense one. I was like, I don't know. My mom's like, Lainey, this is halfway a joke.
You can't be spending $50 out here.
Like, oh, okay. All right.
So yeah, we'll share a yes. photo with you guys because we're very excited about
They're
them.
They're lovely.
They're great.
Cool. Well, I think that's it for us. We
yeah.
hope you had a great holiday
yeah.
season. Let us know what you listen to
yeah.
on your way on your travels.
Shoot us an email. You should DM us. You should hit us up. Add us on Twitter. Not about Barbie bashing, but anything else is welcome. And as always, make sure to, you know, subscribe, rate, review, all the fun stuff. We're here. We want to hear from you and keep giving you guys great content.
And follow up on our website with a lot of blog posts
yes.
and different fun recommendations. This list will be on there. It's doyouevenpodcast.wordpress.com. Bye.
Bye, guys.